thing that I have to do, but I watch that clock, and I'll try to respect that time, and is that clock correct? Yes, it is, and I see the hands now. Okay, very good. Thank you for the invitation to come out here to Wood. You did not know it, I was almost your neighbor. Lori and I, when we were thinking of moving into this area, saw a house right down here on Blanton School Road that we almost got. So I could have been one of your neighbors out here, but that didn't work out, and we're very well situated where we are. But I am glad to be here. I appreciate Justin. I enjoy having him in my class on the Book of Psalms. And I know he grew up under some good preaching with my daddy doing his preaching. So I'm proud that he's here too. And I want to talk to you this week about the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a topic about which there is all kinds of things being said, and a lot of what I hear about the Holy Spirit, I have to admit, I don't understand what some people are talking about. And they'll use expressions that you can't find in the Bible. Now, a lot of time when people say, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, well, they get to thinking kind of like they do when someone says, we're going to talk about the Book of Revelation. You know, we're going to talk about a real deep, hard topic. And there are things about the Holy Spirit that I don't understand. A lot of things I've even given up on trying to understand. Because the only thing we can know about the Holy Spirit is what the Bible tells us about that. And so I just decided I'm going to limit what I want to know and what I'll teach on about the Holy Spirit to what the Bible says. And a lot of time people use expressions in describing what the Bible teaches, what they think the Bible teaches on the Holy Spirit, to come up with a lot of words that you don't even find in the Bible. And so I have found that what preachers say about the Holy Spirit is a lot harder to understand than what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. So that's what we'll do. Now in this topic, Job said in Job 43 and verse 2, I uttered things I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. And I think that's what some folks have done in talking about the Holy Spirit too. In Psalm 131 and verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. When we start trying to get beyond what the Bible teaches, we're just getting too high. And we need to stay down on the ground and keep our thoughts on what the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Some having swerved aside into vain jangling. I mean, they are up there talking. All these words are coming out. Sometimes I can't make heads nor tails out of what they are talking about. It's just like the jangling of a chain out there to me. And they desire to be teachers of the law, but they understand neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I've heard people stand up and say things, I believe this about the Holy Spirit, I believe. Now, I don't understand it, but I just believe it. And I wonder, well, what is it that they believe in if they don't even understand it? Now, I know there's things in the Bible I don't understand, but I don't know how faith goes beyond understanding. And so I struggle and try to have a better understanding so that my faith would grow. But I'm convinced that some of the people are using languages they've heard when they talk about the Spirit, and the people they heard them from didn't know what they meant, and the people repeating them don't know what they mean. They just keep saying it. Let me give you some examples of that. I've got friends that think when they go to worship, they get filled with the Spirit. And to help them do it, here's what they'll do. They want to be filled with the Spirit, so they put the hands up in the air. You know, you've heard that song, Turn Your Radio On? That's what it looks like to me. They've got their antennas up, you know. And if that doesn't work, they'll move them around a little bit and then maybe wiggle their fingers. And all they'll start getting filled with the Spirit. And some of them will just speak right out loud when they think they're getting filled with the Spirit. You don't read in the Bible to stick your hands up in there and wiggle your fingers to get filled with the Holy Spirit. They are people that will say, and these are some men that I admire, and I pondered over what they tried to teach me, and I couldn't figure it out. They say the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word. Well, now, for a long time, I thought maybe there's something there to that. And I studied, and I don't know where they came up with that word. Now, back where I come from in the hills, we got another word. It's called cahoots. You know, I could say the Holy Spirit works in cahoots with the word, and I would have just as much Bible for that as I do the word conjunction with the word. They're trying to say something, but what they're trying to say, I never could understand it. In fact, I just gave up on even trying to understand that. Here's an expression that's been around a long, long time. I heard it so much, I thought it was in the Bible. I kept looking, and it's not there. But people will tell me, and sometimes they are almost just emotional about it. They'll say, I believe in the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, now you find that expression in the Bible. I've heard people say it. I thought, well, I'll find that and put that in context and see what that word means. If it's not there, you can't even put it in context. They've got some idea what they mean by that, but I've heard people say that and say, but I don't understand what that is. And so if they don't understand it, I gave up on trying to understand what they're talking about. And this is serious. We've got a fella out in Texas. He preaches for what is called one of the biggest churches of Christ in the world. And it wasn't too long ago that he said he was standing in the pulpit and the Holy Spirit started talking to him. Right there while he was in the pulpit, he was teaching out of the book of Galatians. And while he was teaching, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him, you need to preach a sermon on why the churches of Christ have been wrong in their opposition to using instruments of music in the church. Now that's what he said. He said the Spirit told him that. 8 years later, he decided he would preach that sermon. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit telling you something? Say, well, let me wait 8 years before I get around to it. I wonder what he heard. In fact, I wonder about a man's sanity that says things like that. He never offered any signs or any demonstration that the Holy Spirit had spoke to him when he was in the pulpit. I don't believe the Spirit talked to him. I think he was so full of himself that he just thought, if I got an idea, it's got to be so wonderful, it must be the Holy Spirit telling me that. You know, one thing you don't find in the Bible is people saying, I think God's trying to tell me something. I've heard that. I've heard it in classes, and somebody say, you know, I've been reading this, and I think God's trying to tell me something. You never read anywhere in the Bible where someone said, I think God is trying to... What, is God having trouble telling you something? Is that it? Is your dial not set quite right on your radio, and you can't quite pick up the signal? Why, when people heard from God in the Bible, they knew it was from God. And when they told people what they had heard, they could demonstrate it with power that they had received from the Spirit. And so there's just a lot of confusion about this. And I want to try to clear it up by teaching what the Bible says about it. Now here's where we're going to go. If you remember these three things this week, these are three things that I know the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. And one is that the Holy Spirit gave us the Word. We're going to do that here in just a minute. I'm going to show you. Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. And then for Sunday morning, it will be the New Testament. The Holy Spirit confirmed the Word. He not only gave the Word to man, but when men were to speak that Word that they received by the inspiration of the Spirit, they could demonstrate by miracles and signs and wonders that it was not the word of man, but it was in truth the word of God. And the Holy Spirit works through his word. That ought to follow. Why would the Holy Spirit give us his word and not do anything with it? Of course, that's the reason he gave us his word. He wanted it to accomplish something. And so the Holy Spirit works through his word. And if we understand those three things, then most of the rest of the things we read about the Holy Spirit, they're just going to fall in place. In fact, you can take almost every passage in the New Testament that talks about the Holy Spirit and classify it under one of those three topics right there. And we'll almost do that in this meeting. I'm afraid I'm going to run out of time by Wednesday night, and I'll let you go home before midnight Wednesday night, all right? I won't keep you too long. But that's what we'll do. Now let's get into this. Today the Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. Then I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit gave us the New Testament. And then tonight, how the Holy Spirit confirms that is the Word. We can know this is the Word of the Spirit by the miracles and signs and wonders which were done. Then we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit reaches the heart of a sinner with His Word. And then we're going to go through the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. Because in those examples, we see the Holy Spirit giving man the Word, the Holy Spirit giving man the ability to confirm that Word, and then you can see how that Word drove men and motivated men to obey the gospel. And it's all laid out in the book of Acts, so you pull all that together. And then Wednesday night, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and the Christian until we run out of time. I may have more material there than I can cover. By the way, you may have some questions about the Holy Spirit. If you would write those down for me, then through the week, if I can deal with it, I'll deal with it. It might be questions I can't deal with, and I'll just tell you I can't deal with that. But if it's questions I can deal with, I'll try to work it into some of these lessons about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, let's get into this. The Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. I'm going to go through 10 passages of Scripture that teach that. The first one. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They said unto him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" And then quotes from the Psalms. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemy my footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" Do you notice anything strange about that right there? I want you to look at that word spirit. The word spirit in this passage is in the lower case. At least it was in my Bible, in the King James Version I was using. It's in the lower case. Why wasn't it capitalized? Most of the time, when the Holy Spirit is referred to, it's in the upper case. Now, this is one of the reasons sometimes the passages on the Holy Spirit can be difficult. Let me tell you this. In the original autographs, when they first wrote the Bible down by inspiration of the Spirit, the way they wrote the Greek in those days was every letter was a capital letter. Not only that, they didn't even put spaces between the words. You know, that'd be kind of hard to read, wouldn't it? But they got used to doing it, and they figured out just how to work through that. But every letter is a capital letter. Now later, they quit doing that. They wanted to clarify some of these things. They started putting spaces between the words when they were copying it. And then, instead of every letter being capital letter, they started using every letter as a lowercase letter. So the translators come to a word like this, where it says, "How then doth David in spirit called him Lord?" They're putting this into the English language. And in the English language, we capitalize some things and put the lowercase on some. Now, what's it talking about here in spirit? Is that David's spirit? Or is that God's spirit? And they had to make a decision one way or another whether to capitalize that or not. So I'm not criticizing them for making a decision, but I don't know why they put it lowercase. It would seem to me that it was David in spirit talking about the Holy Spirit called him Lord, quoting from the Psalms. Now, I'll show you why I believe that. This is a parallel passage to this. It's found in the book of Mark, chapter 12, 35 through 37. Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost." Did you see that? Now, we know what it means when David said in spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit speaking through David. And then here in the parallel, and it quotes the same verse. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. If David therefore himself called him Lord, which is he his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. "David himself said, by the Holy Ghost." Now there's another word. The King James Version uses the word ghost. Now that's the Bible I use just about all the time and the one I'll preach from. But most of the other Bibles use the word spirit. It's just two different English words for the same Greek word. But some things act like they think the Holy Spirit is some kind of spook. I mean, it's almost as though if they want to be filled with the Spirit, they've got to have a seance. You know, and it's almost like a holy seance. If they, and maybe they'll get something out of that, you know. And maybe they're getting this from this idea of ghosts. And they shouldn't think that. It's just two different words for that Greek word. So those words are interchangeable in our English language, at least as far as it comes to as they're used in the Bible. I'll tell you, it's one thing my brethren do that kind of worries me. I don't understand, and all my brethren don't do it, but there's a real popular song out that I keep hearing. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. I can see it on every face, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. Have you heard that? How can you tell by looking at somebody's face that they've got the Holy Spirit? I just think they're picking this up from some of these funny ideas about the Spirit being a ghost out there, and he kind of haunts us, and I don't really know what that song is. I'm trying to figure that song out so I can sing it, because it's a pretty song and folks seem to like it. But I'm not sure what we're talking about when we say things like that. And I'd much rather just use Bible language for Bible things. Now, look at this one. Acts 1, 15 through 17. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Now notice this. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained part of the ministry. Go on down a little bit, it quotes from another psalm. David said what he said by the Holy Ghost. It really wasn't David saying it. It was the Holy Ghost telling us that by the mouth of David. And so that's the New Testament teaching us that the Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. Look at this. Acts 7, 51 through 52. Now this is Stephen. And Stephen is preaching. And he notices the folks he's preaching to. Listen, they didn't want to hear what Stephen said. Some of them had taken their hands and put them over their ears. Now, he saw they were rejecting what he was teaching them. They had accused him of blasphemy against the temple. And Stephen's trying to explain what the temple was and what God's plan was. And he's going through this beautiful history of how God had dealt with the Israelite. And they're sitting there with their hands over their ears. So here's what Stephen says. He said this, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. What does it mean they resisted the Holy Ghost? What it meant was they didn't want to hear what the Holy Ghost had to tell them, because they were putting their hands over their ears. Stephen was filled with the Spirit as he was teaching these things. And by resisting the words that Stephen was speaking, they were resisting the Holy Ghost. And then he says this, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. What's he talking about? Those old prophets told them these things were going to happen. Peter had been teaching them out of their very prophets what those prophets had said, beginning with Moses. He was teaching them the things that God had for them to say. And you know the reason that the Israelites were in such a mess in the New Testament times is because they had rejected the words of the prophets. And in rejecting the words of the prophets, they were resisting the Holy Ghost. How was the Holy Ghost trying to reach them and work with them in the Old Testament, he was trying to reach them and work with them through the words that were spoken by the prophets. And in resisting the prophets, they were resisting the Holy Ghost. Well, I tell you, the Holy Ghost gave the prophets the words to say, doesn't it? So the Old Testament was given to us by the Holy Spirit. Acts 28, 24 through 27. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Now, this is about Paul preaching. Paul is a prisoner in Rome. And as a prisoner, the Jews that had heard of Paul were coming to where he was imprisoned to hear Paul preach. And so he said they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Here's the word, the message he gave them. And they left when they heard this. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. When you read the book of Isaiah, what you are reading are the words that God told Isaiah to speak. That's what the New Testament teaches. And so it's not just the idea of Isaiah thought of some things to say and had thought maybe the Spirit's trying to tell him something. No, these were the words the Holy Ghost gave Isaiah to speak. And it says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet. And here's what they've done with those words. Look at this. Go to this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. I mean, their heart is just big and full and it's not working right. It's unhealthy is what it is. It's got full of all these things it shouldn't have been full of, and it won't function. Their spiritual hearts, what he's talking about, it's waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to their fathers through the prophet Isaiah. So the Holy Spirit gave us the book of Isaiah, gave us the Old Testament. Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Well, what did the Holy Ghost say? This is another quote from the book of Psalms. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That's the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, it's referring back to the children of Israel in the wilderness that you read about in the book of Exodus, when they are not doing what God told them to do. Through Moses, God was speaking to them, and so they weren't going to enter into the rest. So where does all this come from? Where did the Hebrew writer get this? He got it out of the Old Testament. And the writer of the book of Hebrews said, it's what the Holy Ghost saith. So that's the Old Testament coming to us by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9, 1 through 8. Just look at all that. This gets back into the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. And that's where you read about the temple and the priesthood and all the things going on with that. And look what it says. Verily the first covenant, that's the covenant God made with Israel through Moses. The first covenant had ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called in the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over at the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest, the second being the most holy place. Who went there? The high priest went into the most holy place once every year. That's the Day of Atonement. Not without blood, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. What are we reading in all this? I mean, you read all this in Exodus. You read all this in Leviticus about how the priests were to do these things and the Day of Atonement and all this. Why is all that given to us? In this Hebrews, he explains it. The Holy Ghost. This signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. I could maybe ought to bring a lesson on how that overshadows that tabernacle. I mean, with the you got the sacrifice and you got the laver and you've got the you walk into the holy place and the showbread and the altar of incense and the candlesticks that are there and the veil. And then the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was and how the high priest would go in there once a year and meet with God. What was in the Ark and the mercy seat that sat on, all of that points to Christ. Every single one of the items associated with that in the service of it points to the New Testament. They're just the shadows of things to come. But why do we have all this? And how did we get all this information? The Holy Ghost, this signifying. This wasn't something Moses made up. This is something Moses gave us because the Holy Spirit was working through Moses to give us these things. So the Holy Spirit gave us the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. Now, Hebrews 10, 15 through 17. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said. You know, that's what witnesses do. They testify. They say things, don't we? Well, now, I'm going to appeal to my star witness. I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, where do you have the testimony of the Holy Ghost? You can find it right there in your Old Testament. Wherefore, he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, you say the Holy Ghost said that? That's what the Holy Ghost said. Where did the Holy Ghost ever say something like that? It's in the book of Jeremiah. What the Hebrew writer here is doing is quoting from the book of Jeremiah. And he didn't say it's what Jeremiah said. He said it's what the Holy Ghost said. This is the testimony of the Holy Ghost concerning these things. And he's using the Old Testament given by the Holy Spirit to teach the things we need to know in the New Testament. Isn't that beautiful how that works? And so again, it's another affirmation. The Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. Now, 1 Peter 1. Verses 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come. Searching what or what manner of the time? The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified. Okay. The prophets in the Old Testament have these words from the Holy Spirit. They know what to say. But exactly what does it mean and how is it going to be fulfilled and how's all that? They didn't know. They had to search their own words to try to figure out exactly what it was that they were revealing because it wasn't their words. It was the words the Holy Ghost was giving them to speak. And those prophets had to do the same thing we have to do. They had to study those words and use proper laws of interpretation and compare it to the things they know and come to as much knowledge of it as they could to understand it. Now, you don't have to do that to your own words, not if you're sane, but if the Holy Spirit's words, it's somebody else's words. They're simply speaking those words. And so, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. The Holy Spirit is the one that revealed these things to the prophets. And after they got that revelation, they had to write it down and then study what they wrote down to try to see how much they could garner out of that and understand out of that. Isn't that amazing now how that works? Now, and that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that has preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. I didn't highlight that one, but I am during my sermon. I'm going to come right back to this, because here we have the Holy Ghost giving us the Old Testament, you see? And now, what does it say? Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that gave us the Old Testament is the Holy Ghost that gives us the New Testament. And they're both found right here in this passage. Let's go to this next one. 2 Peter 1:19-21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Have you ever studied the Bible with someone and come across some scripture it teaches, and they say, well, now that's your interpretation. I mean, that's your interpretation. As though we all just have our own private interpretations. And they'll turn to a passage like that and say, well, we all have our private interpretations. That is not what this passage is even getting close to talking about. How was it that the prophets could be a light shining in a dark place? How was it that they could speak until the day star arise in your hearts? That's all we're talking about. How did they know what was going to happen in the future? How did they figure it out? Well, there's a lot of folks today trying to predict the future. You'll get somebody to help you with the investments, you know, some stock guru. He thinks he can tell whether stocks are going up or down or not. And every now and then he gets it right. In the meantime, you lose some money, you know, but every now and then it gets right. The weatherman tries to predict the future. What does he do? Well, he gets all these reports in computers and charts and studies and what they know about the atmosphere. They say, you know, we've got 100% chance of rain. You walk out there and it's just sunny as it can be. So he misses it sometimes, but sometimes he'll get it right on the dot. Or he'll say it's not going to rain, and man, your picnic is ruined with the downpour. So the weather, they're getting better at this, but I don't know how they're doing with the global warming. You know, they think they can't get the weather in 2 or 3 days, but they know what's going to happen in 10 years, they think. How do they figure all this out? Well, it's their private interpretations. They sit there and study the events and what's going on and make predictions about what they think is going to happen based on trends that they recognize and see. But that's not how the men told us about Christ in the Old Testament. They didn't sit here like a bunch of wise men with deeper insight to figure it out. What they did, they told us what the Holy Spirit told them to tell us. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at that word moved. I underline that. I started doing a word search on that. What's the word moved mean? That's an interesting word. You know, the very word spirit has to do with breath or with wind. And that's what this word moved has to do with. And I thought that was interesting. It's like they felt the wind blowing. Okay, you know, if you ever had the wind, you go out and the wind just kind of blows you. And you feel it blowing. Here's where that word moved is used. It's used in Acts 2, verses 1 through 5. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven
as of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire that set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word rushing is the word moved. What did they hear in the house? They heard the sound of the moving wind. A rushing, mighty wind. Now, they didn't see any wind. They didn't feel any wind, but they heard that sound of a wind. And then this is what took place. The Holy Spirit speaking through those apostles. It's the word rushing is the word moved. I thought that was interesting. There's another place the word is used. I thought this helps us understand what God did with those prophets. This is when Paul is making his journey to Rome. And remember, they were blown off course. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So they're getting out into the deep sea. But then things changed on them. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. When the ship was caught, they could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. You know what that means? I hadn't been sailing, but that means they got out there. And they had their sails. They had this nice breeze. Says, man, we can make this trip. So they kind of slip away from Crete and get out in the open sea. And then here comes that Euroclydon. I mean, this is a fierce wind. And they couldn't control the boat. They couldn't bear up into it. They just had to cut the sails. They're going to have to ride this thing out. And so they let her drive. The sailors on that boat were not directing the destination where that boat was going. They had lost control. They were subject to the direction and the might and the power of that wind. It's the word translated moved. We let her drive. Go back to this verse. Look what happens with the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake. They were moved by the Holy Ghost, by the holy wind, by the holy breath. They were moved. They didn't sit here and think, I'm going to tell them what I think. This is my chance. I'm just going to tell them what I think and start writing. No, they pick up that pen. Like they pick up that pen, and man, all they got to do is hold on. That pen is going where it's going. The words they're putting down are not coming from themselves. These words are putting out, they're coming from the Holy Spirit. And all they've got to do is follow His direction, listen to His voice, write down what they say, and that's what we have. In the Old Testament, the Bible is the Word of God. It's repeated. We've looked at it. Look what we've done. 10 passages of the New Testament. Now, that's not all the passages in the New Testament that let us know the Bible comes from God. But in every one of those 10 passages, it is specifically identifying the role of the Holy Spirit in giving us the Word of God. And so, I think we've established the point here. The Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. Now, you just wait till I start preaching, because we're going to find out what the New Testament says of how we get the New Testament. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit gave us the New Testament. So, the Holy Spirit gives us the Bible. Whenever you want to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in God's plan for saving man, always remember, one of the things the Holy Spirit did, and the one thing that is emphasized above all other things, is that the Holy Spirit gave us the Bible. If you understand the Bible and the role of man's salvation, then you understand the Spirit's role in that. Because the Spirit is the one that gave us that book. And so I think it's abundantly demonstrated by those 10 passages. Now, that's what I was going to cover for the Sunday school class.